On the show today, heifers on feed creep lower while rising gas prices guzzle beef demand, and a visit with NCBA President Gene Copenhaver. From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's May 2026, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. I want to start by acknowledging the challenges that I know you all are facing. While this is a markets podcast and cattle prices are astronomically high, I know that doesn't mean that everything is all right. So whether it is the worsening drought, the price of fertilizer and fuel, or just the day-to-day challenges of raising cattle, know that you are not alone. And if you need help or know someone who does, please call or text the AgriStress Helpline at 833-897-2474. And while it is encouraging to me to sit in the office today and look out at my window and see some raindrops, I know that we need a lot more to improve the situation that we're facing out there. Let's dive into our national market analysis. Our feeder cattle futures contracts are trading in the low $370 range per hundredweight. Our May contract is at $372 a hundredweight, up 0.6% from a month ago. Our August contract is at $373 a hundredweight, up 0.9% from a month ago. And our September contract is at $371 a hundredweight, up 0.9% from a month ago. Certainly, everyone is still keeping a pulse on the situation with the Iran war. We've had many sort of false endings or promises of things getting better, but obviously the prices at the fuel pump have not gone down, and those impacts are going to be felt for really as, you know, far as we can see into the future. The April cattle on feed report showed that there were 11.6 million head on feed on April 1st, and that is down 1% from a year ago. Placements were down 7% from a year ago, while marketings were down 6% from a year ago. So we're sort of in a low flow environment here, not as many cattle going in, but also not as many cattle coming out, but still continuing to reduce those on-feed numbers just due to tight supplies. With this being a quarterly report, it does bring us the highly anticipated heifers on-feed number, which, drumroll please, was 37.3%. And that gives us a total of 4.32 million heifers on feed as of April 1st. Now, if you have listened to this podcast before, you know we are always watching this number closely for signs of heifer retention. Kenny Burdine at the University of Kentucky offers some excellent analysis in his Cattle Market Notes weekly newsletter. He says, at 37.3%, heifers make up a slightly larger share of on-feed inventory than they did on average over the last 20 years. While this does not suggest widespread heifer retention, he does think that the downward trend of heifers on feed over the last 2 to 3 years is noteworthy. I think that with the current drought conditions, however, through large swaths of cattle country and certainly here in Virginia, significant retention is going to be difficult just with the lack of pasture and hay availability. I do want to take a look at the demand side of things as well. I'm sure you all are almost as tired of hearing about elevated gas prices as you are of paying them, but I do want to note the important effect they could be having on beef demand. Charlie Martinez, an assistant professor at the University of Tennessee, notes how the choice-select spread could point to a combination of softening consumer beef demand and subsequent weaker packer demand for higher quality grades. He writes, in 2025, the spread began near the upper $20 range, that's the choice-select spread, before declining through the early part of the year and then recovering to consistently higher values in the mid to upper teens and low 20s in March and April, which indicates a generally strong premium for choice beef. In contrast, the 2026 spread began the year much lower and more variable, hovering mostly between $0 and $10, and even turning negative at several points, which signals periods when choice carcasses commanded little to no premium over select. Given the recent rise in fuel cost, income for other items and weekly spending at stores has likely taken a hit, which tends to push consumers toward more price-sensitive food choices and away from higher-priced beef items that rely on choice-level marbling. While this is not having a consumer-level impact yet, it's not that beef demand is collapsing because people have to spend so much money on gas, it is something to keep an eye on of are consumers shifting to lower quality grades of beef, or are they going to transition away from beef completely? As I mentioned in last month's episode, I had the opportunity to go to the Virginia Beef Expo, which it is always great to be at to hear and see what is going on in the beef industry across the Commonwealth. And I got to talk to Gene Copenhaver, who is our newly minted president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, as well as a Washington County native. We're here today at the Virginia Beef Expo, and I am with Gene Copenhaver. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thanks for having me today.
So tell us a little bit about your operation back in Washington County.
Yeah, we run a stocker operation in Washington County, Virginia, in the Lodi farming community there. And we're all steers. We're not too diversified. I tell people we're the least diversified operation in the United States. We buy it the same weight and sell it the same weight. But I'm there, and my son Will's there with me full-time on the operation. We're grazers. We feed a little bit of concentrate in the winter, but we're pretty much grazers. We turn out by April 1st, and we start selling by the middle of May and have everything sold by November. Then we start buying back in July in the middle of the summer when a lot of people are not buying back. And we're just blessed with good grass there in Southwest Virginia with our elevation and our rainfall.
I know we're standing here in mid-April and it's probably about 90 degrees out here in the sunshine. What are conditions looking like and what are some of your concerns on the cattle farming side of the business with just the upcoming season with your stockers?
Yeah, the season looks, it's going to be dry, it looks like. We're dry in Washington County. I know it's the whole state's dry. The whole southeast is dry. It's a national problem. If you look at the national drought map right now, it's a lot of yellow and brown out there throughout the United States.
I know we're certainly hoping for those rains to come soon, especially with hay season for a lot of cow-calf folks here in Virginia. Now, back in February, you were officially minted as the president of NCBA. Tell me a little bit about kind of what that process looks like for producers who may not be as familiar with NCBA.
Well, NCBA's National Cattlemen's Beef Association is the largest and oldest association, cattle association in the country. I started this process. I've been in leadership on the policy side for the last 12 years. I started on the officer team about 4 years ago, and you kind of move up on the officer team. You run for election, re-election every year, and luckily I got elected. Somebody asked me recently how somebody from the East Coast got elected president of NCBA, and I told them I ask that myself that question every day, although I have a lot of friends in the West that support me. You know, there's a lot of different ways to grow cattle in this country. Depending on your God-given assets.
We're certainly excited to have you representing us here in Virginia, and congratulations on the role. What are some of the opportunities that you're most excited about or policies that you're hoping to move forward?
You know, one thing I've concentrated on is the next generation. I think this the industry and ag industry in general need to find some way to bring the talented young people we have out there in the industry into the next generation. And to do that, we got to find a place to transition to them. And one thing we don't have now, you know, we've worked on the Big Beautiful Bill, brought us some good tax reform, but at the same time, we need to find a way for our older producers to transition out and without costing them an arm and leg to get out.
When you travel across cattle country throughout the U.S., what are some of the biggest concerns you're hearing from producers and from your members?
Right now, it's the drought. I mean, it's everywhere. I was in Kansas last week in Colorado, and it is dry, and that's all I heard from any producer I talked to out there. And today at Beef Expo, that's all you hear from any Virginia producer. Another concern is when we're going to open the border on the Mexico border. You know, there's been talk it might open some of the western ports, but who knows? They did put out a new plan this week, USDA did, for the screwworm, but yeah, I think we still got a long way to go. We got still a long way to go to produce more sterile flies too.
What's your message going to be to producers here at the Beef Expo?
Enjoy this profitability. We all know it's been in us long. The profitability won't stay here as long as we'd like, but it's been good for 3 years, and we need to enjoy it. We need to build our infrastructure with that extra money and be prepared for when the prices do drop, or not when or if, but they will drop someday, and we need to be prepared for that. But enjoy what you have now. We deserve it. We've all worked hard in the last 40 years to build demand. And with the new food pyramid and turning it upside down, I think demand's going to be even better for us in the future.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Cattle Pulse.
Thanks, sir.
We are incredibly blessed to have such great leaders here in the Commonwealth for our national cattle industry, as well as the state's cattle industry. Now, Gene mentioned this in the interview, but every month I tell you what the Drought Monitor says. And it is obvious as I go across the state, as Gene noted, it is dry, dry. 80% of the state is in severe drought. And 18% centered in Southside, the Western Piedmont, and Eastern Blue Ridge, along with Grayson County, is in extreme drought. Only 2% of the state is in moderate drought in the far eastern Tidewater and the very tip of southwestern Virginia, predominantly in Lee and Scott counties. So as I said at the top of the episode, I know this is a very challenging situation to be in with pastures this dry in early May, hay fields maybe only a foot tall. And of course, you know, we have been getting rain, but we are very deep in the hole and it's going to take a long time to get out. So please do give a neighbor a call, listen to someone who might be going through a tough time, and please do reach out to the resources that are available. Let's look ahead to our NOAA Climate Prediction Center May outlook. Will things improve? Most of the state has equal chances of above or below normal temperatures, with western Northern Virginia, the Blue Ridge, and the Western Mountains and Southwest having a 33 to 40% chance of below normal temperatures. All of the state has equal chances of above or below normal precipitation. It's time for the most exciting part of the show, after some more difficult news on the weather and climate front, the numbers. For those 5-weight steers, medium and large one, our monthly average at Abingdon Tri-State was $443 a hundredweight, up 3.9% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $468 a hundredweight, up 8.6% from a month ago, and Lynchburg was at $476 a hundredweight, up 5.7% from a month ago. Radiant was at $479 a hundredweight, up 1.1% from a month ago, and Shenandoah Valley was at $456 a hundredweight, down 1.7% from a month ago. Winchester, eyeing that $500 a hundredweight mark, came in at $493 a hundredweight, up 1.5% from a month ago. That gave us a 6-market average of $469 a hundredweight, up 3.1% from a month ago. Now, all of this is to say prices really did surge for this month, toppling any semblance of a record that we have. And I'm hesitant to report records anymore in this high price environment because basically every month prices seem to be going higher. We did take a small step back last month, but we see strength returning once again. And although pastures may be struggling to recover and hay is really not even a foot tall and sometimes less in some places, it seems that everyone still wants in on the action. My suggestion, stick to your marketing plan and sharpen your pencil as you look at your risk management strategy. This is an extremely elevated price environment. I know that generates a lot of excitement, but at the end of the day, the weather conditions, as well as the global political and economic situation going on, could very quickly change the scenario. So that's why I always emphasize the importance of price risk management. That is all the time that we have together today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Cattle Pulse. I certainly appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please email me your questions or suggestions for future episodes to elijah.griles@vafb.com. We'll talk to you next month.